Good evening. As we know, Buddhist teachings emphasizes attention. Attention, because that's what is necessary if we are to be contented with our life and if we are to be wise. Attention is needed because, you know, these qualities, contentment and wisdom, they don't occur automatically. If we just sit around, be casual, these things don't happen by themselves. We need to make some effort. That's the whole point. The whole point of our practice. You have to make some effort. And also, in Buddhism, you cannot find any kind of shortcut or any kind of quick technique for gaining contentment or gaining wisdom. Our complete attention is needed. If we are to feel connected and satisfied with our life. In the Loving-Kindness Sutta that we just chanted, it says, "Let one be strenuous, upright, and sincere without pride." And to be strenuous in the activities of our life means that we need to make a continuous, attentive effort to what we're doing. And we should try to reach the limit of our capacity and even go beyond. In other words, when we make our effort with attention, we need to feel some little bit of tension to know or to feel that we have been doing the work of attentive practice. And this tension is necessary if we are to express the Dharma with our life and with our work. One thing we need to do by paying attention to our practice is to be vigilant about pride. Pride arises continually for us because we're humans. Pride will arise. But there is a very common old expression that says, swallow your pride. Advice given for a long time. And it means that in your daily affairs, you should give up your pride. If your relationships and your activities are allowed to go forward, we need to give up our pride to enable our creativity to flow. When you think about it, the times that you have been prideful, or when you see other people being proud of themselves, you can see that creativity is blocked. So we need to let go of pride so that we will not block some activity that could benefit everyone. Now, it's it's okay to discuss things with each other, to argue various points of view that are different. this is normal and this is necessary and this is fine. But if we allow an image of ourself or some notion of our self-esteem to get in the way, then this kind of objective discussion with another person will be hijacked by pride, and might even lead to personality clashes. And as we know, in the political world, pride is always creating clashes between different people who have different ideas. So we say, put aside your personal pride. But it's not so simple to put aside the pride that comes up. It's not so easy because we humans are very much attached to our ideas of our cleverness. You know, we may do something that solves a problem or that creates something, and we feel good about it. We feel good that we are clever enough to do things that are unusual, that provide relief, that make something happen. We like our cleverness. It's a very powerful feeling, isn't it? When you do something and you feel good about how clever you were. It's like a drug. And it does provide a sense of confidence and a sense of self-worth. But we can get carried away with it. This is the problem. We can get carried away with the idea of our own cleverness. And when that happens, we start to think that we are better than others. And the result is a sense of separation between ourselves and others. So in Buddhist practice, putting aside pride is a continuous effort. Not only in particular situations, but continuously. So when we say someone is without pride, we mean they are very good at nourishing relationships. When we trust that someone is without pride, we want to be with them. We really can trust them. Being without pride means we will encourage cooperation, trust, and friendliness. And it becomes the basis for our own peace of mind and our own composure, letting go of pride. And a sense of equanimity, that peaceful sense of equanimity that gives us a feeling of balance and wholeness. Equanimity relies on putting aside pride. So we have to be attentive so that we don't attach to pride because of our cleverness. So continuous practice is necessary to retain humility and put aside pride in the presence of what is going on in a complex life. When we have pride, when we are overwhelmed and carried away by pride, we feel that we are the center of the universe. You ever feel that way? Look at me. I'm so special. this notion that we are the center of everything is the biggest delusion of all the delusions. In Buddhism, there are 108 delusions. And there's a list. You can recite them. A list of 108 delusions. And pride is one of them. Pride is the greatest creator of suffering, the starting point of suffering. Now, because we are human beings and not supernatural creatures, because we are simply human beings, it's impossible to prevent pride from arising from time to time. Because we are human, we often want to feel that we are unique. One of the unique human beings. But when we have our practice, this practice, pride is not a problem. Pride is not a problem because through our practice we come to recognize our delusion. And we can see the ways in which our mind spins off into foolishness. So practice is the antidote to pride. We humans are we can be very stubborn. We are very stubborn creatures. Once an idea gets into our mind, we have a problem of clinging to it, never accept any idea that challenges our original notion. We are stubborn. We are stubborn, and this can lead us to always insisting on our own point of view. And this insistence is the result of pride. But with continuous practice, we are able to reflect on our behavior and our way of seeing things, and we can see our state of mind. Then we understand how it is we create karma. And this understanding will melt all barriers so that wisdom can unfold. And we find peace of mind and equanimity. So... The work that we do these days is very complex. Taking care of families these days is complicated. And these responsibilities are a big challenge these days. And it's easy to make a mistake because of the speed and the complexity of the life we have to live around here. And we are always at risk for creating some kind of problem because of the world we live in. The best way for staying out of trouble is to maintain our vigilance. Vigilance of ourself, of how we are, and especially of our proud feelings. this, you know, vigilant, being vigilant about our life and how we are, is not some kind of technique. It's not a method. It's not a tool. It is an attitude and an orientation towards life, being vigilant. Vigilance is what we chanted, strenuous, upright, sincere, without pride. Vigilance is the foundation of character. So the teachings tell us, if you read the teachings carefully, you see they try to tell us that the problems in our life are not created by someone else or something else. The problems in our life, problems that arise in our life, are not created, you know, out there. The source is not outside of us. We create our own problems in life through our pride. And in one of his early lectures in the 1960s, in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, Suzuki Roshi says, we should not hold on to something we have done, only reflect on it. Do not be proud of yourself. To maintain pride in something that we have accomplished, or to maintain pride in some image of ourself, will limit our understanding. But we come to this practice because we want understanding. So letting go of pride is necessary. Pride will give us a very small view of reality. And we will not be able to see our world with a big mind. Seeing our life and our world with a big mind is how we understand what we're doing. Again, in one of his lectures, Suzuki Roshi said, when we repeat, I create, soon we forget who the I is which creates. We soon forget about God. In other words, if we repeat, I'm the one who creates, it's me, we won't realize the true source of creation if we stubbornly insist that it's ourself. And in the same way, if we repeat, I insist, we will make a barrier. And there can be no creation at all. So, for us to continually resume the true activity of creation, we have to start fresh each moment. And we do that by putting aside pride in our past accomplishments, which means we give up attaching to ideas about ourself. So when we resolve to be vigilant, it means we promise ourselves to study ourself continuously and not be overwhelmed by our own self-idealism. If we attach to our own ideal of ourself, we will clash with other people's ideas of themselves. And clashing with others always leads to contention, and it sometimes even leads to war. But it always leads to some kind of separation and some kind of pain. When we are full of pride, when we live our life day to day pushing pride in ourselves, we reduce ourselves to a paper doll, paper thin. I don't know if children play with paper dolls anymore. You could tell me, but you know, paper doll, you take very thin, cut out of a figure, like thin like this, and then you take some other clothing for that paper doll and you put it on, and the child develops some image of a person. But it's paper thin. Not much depth. When we reduce ourselves to a paper doll, we will be constantly putting on and taking off paper coverings. And in that way, with pride, we will emphasize only the surface appearance of things. Quite often when people come here to begin practice, they discover that the mind is very busy, and you've discovered that. Some people complain about it. Oh, my mind is so full of distractions. But it's normal. Of course, the mind is always trying to think. And so when we sit early in our practice, when we sit, distractions will arise. It doesn't do any good to complain about it. That doesn't make them go away. What we do is simply say, be patient. Distractions that are constantly arising are troublesome to us only when we hold on to pride. It's like saying, I'm a special person. I shouldn't be distracted. And when we can let go of pride, we can simply say, aha, lots of distractions here. I have to learn how to take care of them. So to let go of distractions that arise, we have to let go of our pride. This is the only way to be free of mental clutter. So we, all of us, each one of us, is both perfect and not perfect at the same time. And this is the mystery of our practice. We are perfect and not perfect at the same time. It means that we are perfect, but delusions are always arising. And pride is one of those delusions. Our practice is how we learn to let it go continuously. When we have a vigilant practice, really focused, nothing will get in the way of our universal creation. We will be totally involved in it. Are there any questions tonight? Yes, please.
I'm thinking about how we teach children from a young age. We say, "I'm so proud of you." And we seem to want to communicate to children and more that they should have a good sense of themselves.
Yes.
And somewhere in the spectrum, it seems to me that there's self-loathing at the other end of some kind of a spectrum from pride, or at least in some definition that seems to be there somehow in my mind. But at the same time, this idea of have you caught somebody and seen somebody in the midst of their own self-pride and how blocked their creativity seems to be in that moment. And that definitely seems right at the same time. So is it that we're walking around with a couple different definitions of pride? The one is sort of a sense of self-worth, and another is something kind of on top of that, an effort to sort of scramble to establish self-worth, which is maybe the opposite of it?
I think that's right. When we have a good sense of ourself, when we are confident in ourself, when we have a good feeling that we are in tune with what's going on with life and are fully involved in it without trying to manipulate it to our own benefit, we don't really need personal pride to give our image a boost. We're just confident that we know what we're doing. And that can only happen when we don't get carried away by this thing we call pride. You know, truly confident people don't really worry about how important they appear to the rest of the world. They just do what they do. They live their life according to their vision of things, and they don't worry about importance. It's when we worry about that that we develop pride to cover up a perceived lack of importance. So it's a complicated phenomenon having to do with understanding of what our life is meant to be. Thank you. Yes, Anna.
Outside of Zazen, is there an activity we can do that helps chase away pride?
All activities can help us avoid pride if we bring to it the correct orientation and the correct attitude, which is, I'm not going to get carried away by this. Success or failure won't carry me away. I'm going to simply do the best I can and move on. And with that attitude, it's not likely that pride will arise. But there's no particular attitudes that we can rely on. Each attitude is important. Each activity is important. Thank you.